Welcome to this Euretina Independent Medical Education Podcast, supported by Roche and Apellis. This two-part series on the diagnosis and treatment of geographic atrophy is presented by Professor Frank G. Holtz, Chairman of the Ophthalmology Department at the University of Bonn, and Professor Adnan Tufail of Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. In this episode, they cover the key considerations in early diagnosis, including some tricky subjects like defining the meaning of dry AMD, why early diagnosis is so important, the imaging modalities they use, and the biomarkers they are looking for. They also touch on predictors for fast disease progression and when a general ophthalmologist should refer patients to the retina specialist. There's a lot to learn in a few minutes, so without further ado, we will hand over the discussion to Professor Holtz and Professor Tufail.
Welcome to the Euretina IME video interviews on dry AMD. My name is Frank Holtz. I'm a retina specialist at the University Hospital in Bonn, Germany. And today I'm joined by Professor Adnan Tufail from Moorfields Eye Hospital in London in the UK. Hi, Adnan. How are you doing?
Great. Hi, Frank.
So the two of us will be discussing consideration both for diagnostic measures of dry AMD and also how to evaluate and assess risks for disease progression over time to the late stage atrophic age-related macular disease, as well as now emerging treatment options. So perhaps, Adnan, if I may ask you, there's sometimes a bit confusion on the terminology. Could you briefly elaborate on the terminology dry AMD? What is meant by this, actually?
So dry AMD is a non-specific term often used by our patients or by non-retina specialists. And it covers a spectrum of phenotypes where we see these drusen deposits under the macula, where if they're large enough, we call it intermediate AMD. And over time, that can progress to atrophy or atrophic AMD. But they're all, in inverted commas, dry or non-neovascular. Any of those stages can be complicated by the growth of blood vessels, which is called neovascular AMD, which our patients call wet AMD.
So thank you. So we obviously need to distinguish dry and wet AMD manifestations. Why do you think, Adnan, is it important to make the proper diagnosis early in the journey of a disease progression over time in a given patient?
So there are several reasons that to inform the patient of their diagnosis. So if we catch it at the intermediate stage, there are potential lifestyle interventions that may help. Now, it's important we inform the patient about potential treatment options and also about the risk of neovascular AMD and counsel them to self-monitor for that. So the use of stopping smoking, the possibility of using specific high-dose antioxidant arid vitamins are important. Also, if they start developing geographic atrophy, then the potential now for intervention that's close at hand.
Mm-hmm. And so if you go for the proper diagnosis and the classification of the disease stage, what imaging modalities do you typically use and what is most important for you?
So what is in probably every retina clinic and many optometry practice now is optical coherence tomography, which is quick and non-invasive and will in most patients give you a stage of the disease. However, in some patients, the diagnosis can be confusing and additional imaging may be important to separate it from other more strongly inherited macular dystrophies that can mimic intermediate age-related macular degeneration. And you may need additional tests if the structural OCT may lead you to suspect early neovascular AMD. So autofluorescence imaging may be required, angio CT and angiography in addition to OCT, depending on what you find.
Mm-hmm. And is it also helpful to distinguish there, you alluded to mimicking diseases that look like AMD, but maybe monogenetically determined late onset macular or retinal dystrophies. What is helpful in this respect?
So when with the autofluorescence pattern, you may see these little characteristic flecks, the hyperautofluorescent flecks, and they're above the RPE layer, and they're often of a certain pattern, and that may lead you to do more specific genetic testing. And given the advent of effective therapies for atrophic AMD, which would help in atrophic AMD, but not the other disorders, it's important to separate these out.
Mm-hmm. And are there any clues, perhaps from imaging studies, to assess how fast the progression may be progressing towards atrophic AMD? As we've learned, there's a huge variability in how individual patients behave.
Yes, so we're starting to understand OCT and other imaging biomarkers that may help determine the rate of progression. There are features on the OCT, of just initially on clinical examination, which are large drusen and pigmentary change, which may be, which are at higher risk from the ARIDS risk classification of progressing to late AMD, both neovascular and atrophic forms. But there are specific OCT biomarkers where you can see changes in the outer retina, so-called iRORA or nascent GA or hyperreflective foci, that may increase the risk of progressing towards geographic atrophy.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And so if a patient now has geographic atrophy, the full-blown atrophic stage of AMD, are there any clues towards faster or slower progressions?
So there's some great studies, including the work by the FAM group, which you were heavily involved with, Frank, that have looked at the rate of enlargement of atrophy and what associated features there are. And so the autofluorescence pattern, specifically diffuse trickling phenotype, the presence of reticular pseudodrusen, the size of the lesion, and multifocality are all associated with more rapid progression. And this may help determine when you may either get access to a treatment when the treatment becomes available within the EU and UK, or consider clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. So when do you feel should perhaps a general ophthalmologist refer a patient with any of these stages of non-exudative AMD to a retina specialist?
So I think now, an initial consultation, even at the intermediate stage, given the spectrum of clinical trials, therapeutics, and treatment for the atrophic form, and to stage the disease, because they may have the stage just before geographic atrophy starts, these features that we see on OCT, the iRORA features or nascent GA. And so I think an initial referral would be useful. If there is no active treatment required, the patient could be counseled and maybe shared care with the referring ophthalmologist, depending on your healthcare system. And if they have geographic atrophy, given we are hopeful that we will get licensed therapies within Europe, as we already have in North America, then seeing the rate of expansion, making sure they have primary geographic atrophy and not a mimicking atrophic lesion, such as a CLAP serous PED or vitelliform lesion or an RPE RIP, is important, because when these therapies are available, knowing how the lesion expands will help determine the choice of the physician and the patient when to initiate therapy or when to possibly consider research trials if available.
Mm-hmm. So today we discussed many important considerations for the management, also for diagnosing, following patients with atrophic AMD as treatment options are becoming available. Early diagnosis, as well as a good understanding of disease biomarkers that are telling and predictors of disease progression to geographic atrophy, and in the presence of geographic atrophy, predictors for faster or slower growth is obviously key. Now, thank you so much, Adnan, for joining, and we hope that the Retina IMI video interviews will improve our and your ability to effectively diagnose and manage patients with these phenotypes of age-related macular disease, and hope to see you next time for the coming Uretina IML video interviews. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that was a really informative discussion, and I think we've learned a lot on the diagnosis of geographic atrophy. Our thanks to Professor Holtz and Professor Tufel for their clear explanations of such detailed issues. Our thanks also to Apelles and Roche for their support of this Uretina Independent Medical Education podcast. Look out for part two in this series. Professor Holtz and Professor Tufel will be discussing the emergent treatment options focused on the complement system.